Hey, I'm Stevie.
What's up? I'm Monty J.
And you're listening to the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast,
where we take a deep dive with your favorite contemporary romance authors,
asking them questions about everything from their writing process to their reading habits, plus so much more.
Join us as we help you find your next bookshelf boyfriend.
What's up, bookworms? It's your host, Stevie.
What's up, guys? It's MJ. Coming to you live.
And we're dying.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this has not been a good start to Hot Girl Fall. This has not been the start we've been looking for.
We're falling apart.
We're literally falling apart. But
MJ's getting over pneumonia. I'm like dying over here.
It's not a fun time. I will, however, say that I read the most phenomenal. I'm not done with the series yet, but I read the most phenomenal two books of my life. Well, not of my life, but I read two phenomenal books last night. Okay. And I like audibly gasped through the whole freaking two books. And it's the Maid series by Danielle Laurie. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, Fit Teacher Rachel, the one that we talked to, Stevie.
Yeah.
She recommends this series to people. And yeah. It came up.
Jess read it too.
Came up on my like recommended. Actually, I think it came up on my TikTok because I'm in one of them and I was like, oh, I'm definitely gonna read that. So I read the first one. Oh my god. The first and second one are so good. I haven't started the third one yet, but the series is phenomenal. So, and apparently,
oh god,
there's another one coming out soon. So I'm excited. So that's it. It's like The Sweetest Oblivion, The Maddest Obsession, and The Darkest Temptation. And then the last one is The Purest Addiction. So like, hit me up. I'm ready.
I can't say who we were talking to yesterday, but obviously you know who we're talking to.
Yes.
And you gave her a book recommendation, and I can't remember what the fucking title was. But
it's not romance.
Huh?
It's not romance. Is it the one you're talking about?
It wasn't. I don't think it was romance. It was just a random title that we were talking.
Wink Poppy Midnight. It's a young adult thriller.
It wasn't that one. It was another one that you said, though.
Okay, what does it have to do with? Continue your story and maybe it'll...
So, I was scrolling through Facebook yesterday and people were like, oh, I know who post it was. It might have been our secret guest that had said it.
Okay.
But as soon as I say this title, you'll know who it is. I'm pulling up the girl's Facebook. But she asked for book recommendations, and somebody said this book title. And I know we've talked about this book. And
what it is.
Hold on, I'm looking. Tell a story while I do this.
Okay. I don't really know what to tell. All I know to tell you guys is that I'm dying, or I was. I'm recovering from death, and I'm okay now.
This is my favorite thing ever, because I was telling Jess this the other day, is if you listen to the episodes now, you can't tell that she's dying, but wait until the anniversary
episode. Oh my god, the anniversary episodes are miserable. There was a few that I was like, not even there. Like, I was hallucinating.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. She was on her couch. Y'all know we've talked about this in the past. We normally do cameras.
Yeah.
For our like interviews, and this time around
I have just, not seen my face in 2 weeks.
I have not seen MJ in like a month at this point.
But listen, we gotta do what we gotta do to feel better, okay? I'm out here, I'm hustling, trying to just feel better, okay? Did you find out the name of this book yet so we can end this
introduction? No, I'm gonna have to go through it. It was a friend from high school that posted it.
Do you know what the book is about? The genre? Anything?
No, I might have to just listen to our episode from yesterday.
All right, sounds good.
But I know it was mentioned, and you had said something. I think it was, I'm almost positive it was you who recommended it. And I was like, I've never heard of this title before. And I'm scrolling through Facebook, and somebody asked for book recommendations for the beach. And somebody recommended it. And I was like, are they in my head?
I don't know. However,
whatever.
Do you need to tell people anything else, Stevie?
Sunday.
Sunday, we're doing a fantastic live with Willow Winters, Candy Signer, and Jen Sterling, which is just going to be atrociously amazing. And
follow us on YouTube.
Make sure you follow us on YouTube so you get the notification. If you want to watch it live, you can ask questions. If you don't want to watch it live, then you can watch it whenever you want to on YouTube.
We're going to play a game when we first, icebreaker game with them, which is going to be really fun. MJ knows nothing about that.
I was trying to roll with it, Simi. That I was trying to ask.
It's fine. The people know that we're not professional at this point.
I was trying to roll with it, and you done messed it up for me. But all right, is that everything? Do you have anything else?
That's it.
All right, cool. I'm gonna read the intro for the lovely person that we are going to be interviewing. Danny is USA Today bestselling author of dark and deviant romance with seductive. Originally from Cape Town, South Africa, she now lives in the UK with her better half, who does all the cooking while she writes all the words. When she's not writing, she can be found binge watching the latest TV series or working on graphic design, either for herself or other indie authors. She enjoys reading books about handsome villains and feisty heroines, mostly dark, always seductive, and sometimes depraved. She has a healthy addiction to tattoos, coffee, and ice cream. Let's go talk to Danny Renee. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bookshelf Boyfriends podcast. Danny Renee, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
We're super excited to have you. I'm super excited to have a whole podcast to just listen to your accent. Do you get that a lot?
I do. It's really weird because I spent about 4 years in the UK when I was after college. And then my accent, I pick up accents really quickly. So if I talk to you for a long time, I'll pick up your accent. So when I went back home to South Africa, I had this full-on British accent, and everybody looked at me and went, what the hell? And I was like, and it slowly went away, but I still have this weird, twinge to my accent. So every time I talk to someone, they go, but you don't sound South African, or you sound slightly Australian or British or from New Zealand. Where are you from? So yeah, I always get that I get countries thrown at me left, right. And I'm like, no, I'm actually South African.
Have a melting pot of accents.
By the end of this, she'll be having an American accent. It's fine.
You definitely do not want to pick up on my accent. I'm gonna tell you that right now. But we're going to jump right on into questions about your books. I binge read your whole Thorns and Roses series, and I have no shame. Okay. The angst in these books, nearly took me out. Okay. They nearly killed me. But I absolutely love them. So we're going to start with a High So Sweet. And this is okay. And if I mispronounce your characters' names, please God, let me know. Because let me tell you something, I mispronounce things left and right. I'm dyslexic and I'm Southern, so it's just not a good conversation. Okay, so
the Southern accent makes for horrible
pronunciation. It's not a good time for me, so sometimes.
I think it's pretty cool. I love listening to random accents from everywhere, so.
I know. And I know that we're starting backwards because the High So Sweet is book two, but it was the most recent one that you had released, I'm pretty sure, or something of that nature. So it was the most recent one I had read, so I read it backwards. So we're going to. This is basically Cassian's book, and it's got a friends to lovers vibe with so much angst that I literally nearly had to stop reading at certain points, and I was like, oh my god, I gotta take a break. So who inspired these two characters for you?
I think the inspiration itself just came from like the topic that's covered in the book and in the series, because each book covers a different like topic, which is quite serious. And
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't go overly in depth with it, but I did touch on it, just showing the struggle with the characters and the actual struggle that Kaylin went through is quite personal. I've seen very close family and friends go through it, and I didn't go too in depth with it because I did want it to be focused more on the romance and the friendship between Cassian and Kaylin.
Yes.
But yeah, so there's a bit of inspiration there on her side, mainly for what she went through.
I'm so don't get emotional. I'm sorry. No.
No,
No, I totally, I 100% understand that. And speaking on that, Kaylin is such a very strong and like sassy heroine who deals with a very just like very dark past rooted in drug addiction and grief. And coming from somebody who grew up with a parent that was, involved in that, I thought you handled this really well, and I thought it was very tastefully done. I think it added to like
Thank you.
the depth of the characters, and I was just like, oh God, this is gonna kill me. This is gonna stab me in the heart. So,
Thank you.
what
Thank you.
was it like? I mean, if you're comfortable answering, what was it like having to be in that headspace? Because I know that that can be very like draining.
It is draining. It's emotion like it's like emotionally draining. When I finished the book, I think I had literally I sat for like about a week just like ignoring everything else. Like I ignored the new books that I needed to write. I ignored the deadlines that were coming out because I needed time away. And yeah, I mean, most of the books that I've written have been, I mean, I have done some sort of very steamy taboo stuff, which is quite easy to write. But when I write my full-length novels, I tend to take like a moment after, because it is draining emotionally, because you just sit there, and like at points in most of my books, like there's always a point where I'm crying as I'm writing a chapter.
Samesies.
So
Except, as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh God, this is killing me.
and also it's stressful because it is touchy subjects, so it's overly stressful because I just don't want readers to come back and go, oh, that was, that wasn't covered properly. Or and also because I'm writing it from a very personal space, it's also quite stressful. So it's the
Yeah.
stress of that, and then it's also the stress of just going through what she went through. And yeah, it
And then
was
you finish it and you're kind of just like, oh my God, I need like a Xanax and like a whole bottle
yeah.
of vodka because it's just
A bottle of vodka with a straw, nothing else.
absolutely a straw. Just, I mean, nothing else, no chaser, nothing, because I
Nah.
need it. I totally understand that. So Cassian, I felt like, was the ultimate book boyfriend. He's like this possessive alpha, but he's caring and he's gorgeous. All the boxes are checked. So, what was one thing you had to make sure you put in Cassian's character to make sure he was a good match for Kaylin?
I knew that I needed him to be the no nonsense, like possessive alpha. He needed to, but then on the other hand, he needed to show that caring side when she needed it. He needed to show the kind of fuck you type of thing, you're listening to me now, when like scenes came up and he needed to like go, oi, you need to like listen to me. But then, I mean, there were some scenes where he was so super spoony. I was just like, ah.
Like, I'm going to die.
Yeah, and he needed the balance between the two, because you can't always tell someone in that headspace what to do because they're never going to listen to you. And I mean, there were times where she never listened to him, which was frustrating,
But I
but.
think that was just a part of her personality, and I grew to love that about her. So.
So I think that sort of showed her growth, where she finally just went, okay, I'm letting you tell me what to do because I know I need it. So I think they just equaled each other out just from that sense where he knew when she needed what part of his personality.
I love that. So we're going to move and shift gears to A Cut So Deep, which is book one of the Thorns and Roses series. So it seems that you have a running theme of broken yet strong heroines, which I think is so refreshing because most of the time it's like the guy that needs healing, right? It's like the bad boy that like every woman thinks she can fix, but she really can't. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I think that it's really refreshing because I think that this series is has a theme of like strong heroines that are very like broken and in need of, you know, some guidance in some way. So I am not even going to attempt to pronounce her name. So I'm going to let you say it first so I don't butcher it.
Okay. So Nesrin is, yeah. So I actually chose her name. I'm so picky with names, but her name, because it's the series is Thorns and Roses, her name actually means wild rose.
Oh my God, I love that. I love that. So, I'm a sucker for like meanings of names that like, I'm a sucker for that so hard. I love that.
So yeah, Kaylin is Rosebud, I think. I can't remember now off the top of my head, but yeah, Rosebud, and then Nesrin is wild rose.
Oh my God, I'm in love. That's amazing. I love that. So speaking of her, she is no exception to this past pain. And she has this pain in her heart that is just, I mean, it all consuming is just eating her alive. So who inspired her for you? Did she come from a personal place or a friend? Because I felt like I knew her. I was like, bro, we're besties.
That's super cool. Thank you for saying that. Obviously, this one being the first book, this one was like, I think this one was more draining than the second because diving into the series, I knew what I wanted to do, but I wasn't expecting the level of like just the pain that the heroines were going through. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was inspired by a very close friend as well as actually myself. Who sort of struggled a lot with similar issues.
Yes.
So writing her was probably more personal than writing the second book. But it still came from a place of knowing what's going through their mind and everything like that.
Well, I'm super sorry to both you and your friend because, I mean, she went through it. So
yeah.
Then there's Damon, who is this cold bad boy, as we were talking about, that has like this alpha swag. And I was like in love with him. I was like, yes, sir. I was like, so his heart just starts to beat again for Nesrin, which I just love that you could almost sense that like out of the gate. And so like out of her three stepbrothers, she's like, they have the connection, right?
Yeah.
So I did think to myself, I was like, did you ever think about making this a reverse harem?
No, it never, ever, ever crossed my mind. And the reason is that I sort of focus on the couple when I'm writing them. But with her, she needed his maturity and his strength. And I know Cassian does come across as quite strong and stuff, but he's less dominant to his older brother. And Nesha needed that dominance, that sort of commanding presence in our life.
Yeah.
And it never, ever crossed my mind. I mean, I do have some RH plan for the future, but for them, they needed each other. And I think the connection between them, as soon as I started writing, because I wasn't sure which brother she'd sort of end up with, because I don't plot at all. I'm terrible with plotting. And then the wedding scene where he's sort of in the shadows, I was like, yep, that is it.
It's him. He's the winner.
And also, I quite like the sort of, like, she was so feisty with him because, like, and he just did not want to. He was like, oh, this is my stepsister. This is not happening. It's not happening. But I love that sort of back and forth angst that comes from them.
Let me tell you something. I loved it too. So if Thorns and Roses series could be turned into a movie series, who would you cast in the roles and why?
Oh my God. Okay, so for Damien, definitely it would be Ian Somerhalder because he was my muse. He
Oh
was Damien
God.
in my head. Yes.
I would die. I would literally die.
I'd be like, take me.
For real, Simsy, so same.
So yeah, he was always the muse, and that's when I saw the model that I have on the cover, and I was like, oh my God, I have to have him. So yeah, went through back and forth, and definitely Ian Somerhalder. I'm really terrible at picturing my heroines. Like, the bookstagrammers and bloggers will make graphics and edits and stuff, and they'll find these amazing models that fit the characters, and I am terrible. I never picture them as I'm writing them. So I'm not too sure on the female. Like, for me, Nesrin was always, I suppose she would be like, her real name escapes me now, but Elena, like the dark hair, quite pixie-like, quite small.
Yes.
You know, quite sort of broken in the beginning. So yeah, so I guess they'd sort of be perfect for the first book. But with the second book, I actually have no clue because they surprised me just from, as I wrote them, I didn't actually picture them. And then the cover model I actually found randomly on Facebook one day, and I was like, oh, that's Cassian. So it was sort of like after the effect, because usually I create like Pinterest boards and I have like inspiration pictures, but for them I didn't actually have any. So I had no idea. It would just be like a surprise to me, like who would, like,
as long as the guy's hot, we're good.
Oh yeah, no, definitely.
So you have, I'm so excited. I'm not sure when you're going to be releasing it or when it's happening, but you're releasing the third book and it's going to be about Finn. And let me tell you something. Yeah. I'm so excited about him, and that's a death to seek. So can you tell us a little bit about it? If you know anything or anything of that nature?
Okay. So Finn's story is actually an arranged marriage, romance, and I'm planning it for March. It might come a little bit earlier. The pre-order is up on Amazon, but I might bring release date forward because I'm actually going to start it in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be a real tough one. I think it's going to be darker than both the first two books. And I don't know if you saw, I did release a prequel to the whole series.
I did.
So it's super short. It's only like 10 chapters, I think, maybe 7 chapters. I can't remember, but super, super short. But you meet all 6 of the guys. So you meet all 3 of the Thorn brothers. You meet the 3 Haven brothers. And people are sort of freaking out because now they're going, they want Finn and they want the 3 Haven brothers because those 3 books are going to be like, yeah, I don't even want to go there. But yeah, Finn's story is going to be quite emotional, and it is going to be a lot darker than the first 2 books because it does deal with suicide, and that is, you know, from the title you can tell. And it's arranged marriage, and we once again focus on the broken heroine. And she gets thrust into the world of the Thornhaven and having to overcome stuff. Well, that's all I can tell you.
I'm here for it. I can't wait. I'm excited to see it. I can't wait to read it. It's going to be amazing. So I am now going to let Stevie, we're going to shift gears and we're going to move into some reading questions. And I'm going to let Stevie handle those since that's her forte.
But first, y'all mentioned Ian Somerhalder, but I have a magnet.
Oh.
I knew you were going to mention something about it. I knew it.
Look, I have a mini fridge in my bedroom, and I'm not ashamed of it. And I have a magnet of him on my mini fridge.
Oh, I knew it was coming. I knew she was going to say
it's fine. Something. I'm obsessed with the Vampire Diaries. It's okay.
So am I. That's okay. Hey.
You're lucky that the necklace is up somewhere right now and I can't figure out where I put it, but I have Catherine's necklace from the show.
Yeah.
because a friend of mine from high school was one of the writers for the Vampire Diaries and the originals. So of course I have multiple items from the show.
I'm much more of an originals. I'm a much more of a Klaus kind of gal. So
yeah, I mean, we can do an RH with Klaus, Elijah, and Ian. There we go.
I mean, yeah, I'm here for that. I support that 100%. Yes, ma'am.
Look, our friend Kat was live on Instagram the other night, and it became a whole thing on Vampire Diaries and the originals. And I don't know how, so I ended up starting the series again because that's the only right thing in the world to do.
It's so good.
And I do that all the time. Like, I just randomly go back, and same with the originals. I do the same thing.
And rewatch the whole thing. Like, have you watched the Legacies?
I haven't. That's the one I haven't watched. But yeah, I sort of rewatch Vampire Diaries and the originals like a few times. Listen, so
when Klaus, spoiler alert, when Klaus exited the TV show, I was like, I don't even care. I don't care.
That was the most like painful,
devastating thing in the world.
Yeah.
It hurt my heart.
I remember it was last year before we moved. It was still in Cape Town, and I was obviously writing from home, and I was like, oh, I feel like rewatching, and I had already watched up to a certain point, and then I got to the episode where spoiler alert, where Damon dies and he comes to say goodbye to Elena. And I was going,
that's literally me.
And I think that our neighbor thought that someone in my family had died, because I was literally boxes of tissues crying. So yeah.
Same. That's me. I feel that on a spiritual level.
I don't care how many times you rewatch that show, the pain is still
so. Oh no. Yeah.
And see, I'm not even as a severe fan as you guys. Like, I think I've only watched the Vampire Diaries through the entirety of it like one time.
No, yeah. See, I've rewatched it like 10 times, maybe 100 times at this point.
I feel like the way that you guys are,
there are the times where I have to skip that episode because I can't deal with it.
Your heart can't do it.
Nope.
Like, see, I feel like the way that you guys are with Vampire Diaries is the way that I am
with Friday Night Lights. We know.
Friday Night Lights is like my jam.
But for anybody that has not watched the Legacies, I highly recommend it because there's a really good storyline in there with, obviously, Alaric is the teacher.
Yeah.
And Hope is the main character.
Yeah.
It is her life and
yeah,
her dealing with her tribird. Three, whatever the hell she is, witch, wolf, vampire.
Well, I'm just gonna say that if anybody that has not watched Friday Night Lights, you are missing out. Go watch it. I'm telling you. All right, we need to move forward. Reading questions, Stevie. Go, take it away.
Oh boy. Okay, what book has your favorite cover? This can be one of yours, or it can be anyone that you've read.
Oh man, that's like asking me my favorite
kid. I know,
vampire character. Like, seriously, man, that hurts my heart. God, I don't know. There's so many beautiful covers out there, and there's so many coming out. Every time I open like Instagram, I see amazing covers. Okay, so off the top of my head, because I literally just bought the paperback, is Lisa James, Vibe, and Hush.
Oh my god,
Liza, we love Liza.
Don't even play games with me. That is the love of my life. Liza
love
James,
some Liza James.
those two covers are absolutely on point. One of my favorite covers, and I don't know if she's changed it, I know she's been updating her covers, is Kay Webster's Dirty Ugly Toy. Is like, every time I see that cover, I just like, it's got that girl with the pink text and she's got that weird silver thing on her eye, and it's just, there's something about it that's quite like haunting, but it's super super gorgeous. So yeah, off the top of my head, those are the ones I'll mention, because I'll be here all night.
Damn you, Amazon, for banning Liza's book.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, she put it back up with a new cover. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I saw that.
I will say, however, I think that Emma Jones has some of the most striking. I love Emma's covers. Sorry, that's awesome.
Jay, who designs them, does amazing work. Like, her work is just like, way beyond.
Shout out to the cover designers in the world, because there are some freaking talented ass cover designers.
Yeah.
Y'all bitches are talented. I could never.
I mean, we're cover whores, so.
Well, I mean, I design like 90% of my covers, unless I'm in a sort of like a collection of sorts or something like that, then, you know, and I have to work with another designer. But yeah, I mean, out of all my covers, I do like 90% of them. I've worked with some amazing cover designers. Jay is amazing, who I said. Des from Pretty Pink Ink, I think, or something. Pretty Pink Creations or something. Yeah, she's amazing. So yeah, there's so many good designers. Kat from TRC Designs. Oh, she makes amazing things.
Yeah.
So
many talented individuals in the world, and it's just like, I don't have them to keep buying these covers.
I just want to shout out to the beautiful man that's on A.L. Jackson's cover, because I think I'm obsessed with him. Can everybody use him? I need more books with him on it. Just like more books.
Just for your shelf.
Just for my shelf, because he is a beautiful individual.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to go track down some pictures of just him. There's got to be some out there.
Yeah, just follow Michelle Lancaster and you'll see them all.
Yeah. I just need to follow him. Like, I don't know what it is about the man with the tattoo. It's just beautiful.
All right, Stevie.
Okay, what attracts you to a book? The cover, the blurb, the recommendation, or the title?
Usually the cover. as we've been speaking about. No, usually the cover. And if it's, I mean, I will usually one-click specific authors that I always read and always buy. But usually if it's a new author, if it's an author I've heard of or anything like that, it would be the cover and then the blurb. Generally, like, even if it's a teaser, if I'm on Instagram and I'm scrolling and a teaser catches my attention, I'm like, oh, what's that? Oh, I need to read it. Usually the cover.
That's
first,
me.
But,
that's me.
Oh, your story.
Same damn thing.
Because
I
your story
was
is
scrolling
the best.
Through Instagram. I was literally scrolling through Instagram and saw like a review of Claire Contreras's Fables and Other Lies. Yeah. And I did not even read the blurb. I didn't do anything. I immediately went to Amazon and I bought the paperback. And I did not read that paperback until like 2 months ago. And I'd had it for like nearly a year. I was like, bro, wow. The cover is stunning.
She didn't even know that it was gothic romance until I told her.
I had no idea. I didn't even know it was romance. I was like, oh, this is beautiful. I don't even know what it is. I'm going to buy it though.
I've done that a few times. Yeah.
Literally me. My poor husband is like, will you stop spending our money on books? And I'm like, can't do it. Sorry.
Oh boy. So who are some of your favorite authors to read? And this is your chance to pimp your friends.
I have like a long list of one-click authors that I always buy. But other than that, Jay Rose is amazing. She's a newish author. I'm actually reading an arc of her release that comes out tomorrow, which is September 3rd. Because it's now Thursday, but Jay Rose writes dark, super dark, twisty,
right up MJ's alley.
MJ, you will absolutely. So check out Krista Deathens. That's a new release. I'm currently, it's RH as well.
Her favorite.
Okay, I see you, Jay Rose. You're just out here putting out. I see you.
Lilith Roman. She
we love her. She sent us a book.
Oh, she's so awesome. She's such an awesome friend. And then Alexandra Silva, she does sort of mafia romances or stuff like, not overly dark, but they are like, I'd say romantic suspense. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And she, her series, you should see her cover. She's got hardbacks going for her covers at the moment, and they're just absolutely stunning. And then my sort of one-click authors that I just buy automatically would be Sky Warren, Natasha Knight, Kay Webster, Amo Jones. I never know how to say her name. I never know how to pronounce her name. I know it's like a special way of saying it, but yeah, her. Lisa James, of course, and Monica James. Yeah, so those, like, just off the top of my head, those are sort of my one click authors that I go for.
Oh, I love it.
Do you prefer e-reader or physical copies?
Usually e-reader, because it's easier to carry a Kindle, especially when you're traveling and doing stuff. But I do like if there's one author that I will just buy her paperbacks because she's amazing is Pepper Winters. Like, her covers are oh stunning, so
I love
absolutely
her.
Love her as well. So she's also one of my one clicks. But yeah, I like physical copies, especially when the cover is stunning and I just want to hold it. But yeah, generally I'll just buy ebooks.
I feel that.
I buy so everything that's on my bookshelf never gets read.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't touch them either.
I own ebooks of everything that's on my shelf for that reason.
Exactly. That's why you have a Kindle.
So somebody, I won't name names because she'll be mad I called her out on this, but she knows who she is. She won a giveaway and it was a lot of books.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm going to start reading them. I'm like, you don't read the side paperbacks. I said, all those authors are on KU. Go read them there.
These are for pictures only.
She's like, but I want to read them. And I'm like, you go download the KU versions and then you read them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why they're there.
I said, you never know when they'll be worth money.
Exactly, exactly. And mine are in mint condition.
Okay, so what was your last 5-star read?
At the moment, I just said I'm reading an arc of Fist of the Heathens by Jay. And I'm sort of nearing the end now, and that's going to be my sort of 5-star read. Before that was Promises and Pomegranates by
Miller. I love that book. Holy Mother of God, that book was so good. I love that book.
So, yeah, I read that one before this. And then, yeah, so that's. So those are the two that I've literally just been finished reading.
I feel that. Okay, so we are now going to segue into writing questions, and I'm going to handle this portion. So When did you first realize that you wanted to be a writer?
I didn't actually realize it. It just happened. I know that sounds weird, but I started writing very short paranormal type stories when I was about 13, I think. And I never sort of thought, oh, it's going to be a career or it's going to be full time or anything like that. So yeah, but that's when I started writing. And then I sort of stopped when I got to college and started traveling and doing things and life got in the way. And I only actually started writing properly around about 2013, and I actually started doing that on Wattpad. So
I love me some Wattpad. Oh my god, that's where I started out reading. I'm telling you right now, yeah. I was a 13-year-old and I should not have been on Wattpad, but I don't even care. All Wattpad was for me was just fan fiction smut.
Yeah. that's pretty much what I started writing. So
I'm here for it. I support it. The sport is.
So yeah. So and then it just sort of snowballed into this because my I had some readers on Wattpad who kept saying, oh, you should publish this, you should publish it. And I sort of laughed them off for ages. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe they're serious. So I sort of started looking into it and started planning to release one book. And then I released it and went, okay, yay, I'm done. And if it wasn't for a blogger who reached out to me on Instagram way back when I was still a baby author, I don't think I would have probably still been here, because she was like, oh, when's your next book coming out? I just read your first one. And I was like, oh, what now? What next book? And she was like, no, but your next one. And yeah, so, and then it sort of, and with her and me chatting and stuff, like, she sort of pushed me into it and said, no, you should get another one out. And yeah, so it's sort of, and the rest is history kind of thing.
Snowballed. I think this author community has done wonders for so many people. So yeah. I mean, obviously every community has its issues, but I think our community is great, and I think it's so supportive. Mm-hmm. And there have been so many people that have kept me from from being, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, wake up the next day and I'm like, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
So do you have any interesting writing quirks? Like, you have to, like, when you start writing, you have to, like, put on the same pair of socks, or, like, have to be eating a certain snack, anything of that nature?
I have to have music. Oh, yeah. I have this weird, like, ritual when I know I'm starting my next book. I have to first create the Pinterest board. I have to then create the playlist. And then I start writing. I don't plan or anything, like I said earlier. So literally I know the conflict or whatever you want to call it. Like I know what the problem is going to be, but I don't know where they're going. I have tried planning before and it just went way off like course, like it just crashed. So I don't do that anymore. But yes, I need to have a playlist and I need to have my Pinterest board, and then I start writing. And I sort of need to know the ending. I need to know if not the HEA or anything, I need to know how they fix the problem. And then I start writing. Other than that, yeah, it's just like a free-for-all. But yeah, my sort of writing quirks would be a playlist and a Pinterest board, because that inspires me. The music has to be there, because that creates the scenes in my mind. And then obviously the visual would be the Pinterest board.
I do the same thing. So I feel it. I get you. I'm there. So what is the weirdest thing you've had to Google for a book?
If I have to tell you that. No.
You have to. I'm just kidding. There's a gun to your head. I'm just kidding.
I don't know. Weird. I wouldn't say weird. Maybe just like, I had to Google a lot of like, torture stuff for my mafia book. So lots of torture stuff, this is weird and funny. I had to Google the piercings, you know.
Okay, got it.
So I had to Google piercings because one of my heroes has lots of, he's a tattoo artist, and
he has a Jacob's ladder, for those of you who don't understand. Emotion, dude. That is what that is called, ladies and gents. So I get it. So what does your family think about your writing, and have any of them read any of your books?
No, they're all banned from reading my books.
Me too.
All of the ones that I do speak to do know that I write, and they don't read like romance itself anyway, so they haven't read my books, but they're very supportive. I mean, even like my husband's father, who was a minister, and he now knows that I write romance. But I mean, yeah, no, they're all super supportive, and I think they're all very proud of me. I mean, I literally gave my mom one of my books and said, never read it, just keep it on the shelf, because, you know, you have it. and you can say, you know. But yeah, none of them read it. Thank God for that. At least I hope they don't, because
if they do, you're gonna have to answer some questions.
Yeah,
I love it.
All right, so that is my last writing question for you, and we're going to move on to our favorite portion of the podcast, which is trope questions. We love this section. It is, however, the last portion of it, which sucks. We need to figure that out a little bit better, Stevie, but we do love this section. So what is your favorite trope to write and why?
Oh, I love enemies to lovers.
It is the iconic answer.
The back and forth, the angst, the like, will they do that? No, they're not. They're fighting. No, but they, oh no, they're not. But yeah, no, I love that sort of back and forth, and the sort of tension is just awesome to write.
I have the perfect story for this right now. I was literally reading a book last night. And I'm the type of reader that I communicate with the characters. Yeah. And so I speak out loud about what's going on. I'm like, girl, I know good and damn well you did not just do that. And I'm like, you know, talking to myself or whatever. And I like squealed, and my husband was like, what's going on? And I was like, they're hate fucking. I was like, they hate each other. They hate each other so much right now. And he's like, what's going on? I'm like, well, they're having sex, but they hate each other so much right now. And he's like, why are they having sexual intercourse if they hate each other? And I'm like, because they really do love each other, okay, Fletcher? But they just don't know it yet, okay?
Exactly.
I was trying to explain that to him, and he's like, you read some of the most fucked up shit. I was like, it's fine. It's fine. All right, Stevie, I'll let you handle the next question.
What is one trope you would eventually like to write, and why?
I've jumped around tropes so much. I don't know, actually. Here we go. RH. And I am actually planning RH next year.
I'm here for it.
So yeah. I haven't written one yet, and I do have a storyline. It's actually a project that we're announcing in November, which I'm so excited about. I created the cover already and everything. I'm super, super excited, and I'm doing this. It's a collection.
I know what this one is. We talked about this.
With a few authors, and they are... they're super, super excited as well. I think there's only about 10 of us. So I'm writing an RH, and I've always wanted to and just never sort of had the guts to do it. But yeah, now I'm like, yeah, you know what? I can do this.
Well, I'm here.
So that's coming.
MJ's like, if you need a beta reader.
I'm here for it. I love a good RH. I love
it. Don't put that offer out, because I am looking for beta readers. So
listen, as long as you don't care that I'm an author, girl, I'll do it. I don't care. I don't care.
Hey, if you can give honest feedback, seriously, like, I have struggled with people I find readers offer, and it's really cool, and I love them to pieces, but then they read it and go, it was amazing, it's amazing, and I'm going, no, you need to tell me what's wrong with it. So listen, yeah.
I am one of the most honest people you'll ever meet when it comes to art, because I am an author as well, so yeah. I want the respect that I would want for me from my alpha readers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, some authors are like, yes, I want you to be honest, but I'm like, do you really though? Do you really? I'm not going to sit there and slash your shit. Like, obviously I know that this is like your baby, this is your artwork, but I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, if I don't like something or I don't think something's adding up, I'll be like, listen, my opinion and my opinion solely, you are the artist at the end of the day, whatever you choose to do is what you choose to do for your characters. But I'm just saying, I don't think this is adding up. And some people get offended by that. And I mean, if you want but I'm just saying, if you want one that if you want an honest feedback, I will definitely do it. But
so watch me stalk MJ now. Hello.
Hey, hit me up. My inbox is always open. I be in that bitch all the time. Hit me up. So what is one trope you'll never write and why?
I never say never. I don't. Like, I someone's asked me this before, and I don't want to say I won't ever write something. At the moment, like, I probably won't write sci-fi, but then A story might come to me and I might write it. But I try never to say never write something, because if a story speaks to me or if characters come to me, then I will write it.
I feel that. Me too. I had an epiphany on the way to my in-laws last night at like 6 o'clock in the morning. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to write a story. I had the whole plot, I had the characters. And it was all because I heard a song and I envisioned a moment. I was like, that's it. I do that all the time.
Exactly.
But Stevie is going to take our last question, and then we are going to tell you goodbye, sadly.
Okay, so if you were in a book, what trope would you want for your story?
Oh, definitely enemies to lovers. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I want all that tension and angst and stuff. But yeah, definitely that would be my sort of go-to.
Oh my God, I literally saw a freaking TikTok where it was like, it literally was a very specific thing. It was like, when the enemies to lovers start, it's like when the enemy comes in while you're in the bathtub and you're trying to like cover yourself up and you like turn around to grab your towel and the enemy sees the scars on your back and he's like, who did this to you? Ooh. And I was like, oh bro, I was like, what book is this immediately? Like, I have to read what this book is. Somebody tell me now or I'm going to cut someone.
Look, TikTok is on point lately. I've seen nothing but TikToks about this Chad fool on my TikTok.
Oh yeah. I opened it today and I was like, okay, I've seen him more than new books. So yeah,
I will literally I dare him to say that shit to me.
The romance community is pissed.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, he done messed with the wrong community. He done came for the wrong set of women. Let me tell you. Look,
nobody can deny this, but Fit Teacher Rachel came for him. And that was the best comeback.
Like, if it's small, just say that. Like, get it. Like,
if it's small, just say it out loud. It's fine.
Yeah. Like, you're the reason that the romance genre makes so much money is because of men like you. Like, I hope you know that.
Misogynist.
Yeah, like, exactly. There you go.
And I dare you to say that to my face. I will literally kill you. Like, I dare you to say it to my face. He doesn't. We are not the community to fuck with.
That is why he was recording it from his basement. That is all I'm saying.
I'm telling you, we're not the community to come at. He picked the wrong damn one.
I feel bad for his girlfriend.
Who the hell comes for the romance community? You do realize that we read books about mafia men. Like, we know how to kill you.
Oh my God, you saying that now? It was so funny. I was chatting to a friend of mine because she was going, when are you finishing this book? And I'm like, I'm on the second last chapter. And I was like, well, it's a torture scene, so I'll be fine. And then because she's an American, I was like, do you know what tongues are? If I tell you, you know, he picked up metal tongues, and she goes, and she sends me this picture, and she goes, these, and I'm like, yeah. She goes, yeah, I'll know what they are. And I'm like, okay, cool. And she's worried about what you're using them for. Like, don't you worry.
Don't worry. It's nothing to be concerned about. I just don't think that I don't think logistically he thought it through when he thought about the community he came
He's
for.
Like, this community is not big at all. Okay, like, we'll talk.
You're like, stupid. Like, what are you talking about? We literally love men who kill people for a living. We fall in love with them. We literally know how to kill you and get away with it. Like, what are you talking about? I will, like, assassinate you in your sleep. Please stop. I can't. Okay, now that we've got away on that little runway, Danny, thank you so much for joining us. You've been so amazing. You've been such a great guest. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, ladies. It's been awesome. It was such a good chat. Thank you for having me.
No problem. And we hope to chat with you soon. We hope you have a good day, night,
you too, evening,
whatever it's called. Peace out.